Hello, and welcome to your audio insight from hypnosisdownloads.com on one important way to stop people thinking badly of you. I'm Roger Elliott of Uncommon Knowledge, and what I'm going to talk about here may surprise you a bit, because I want to start off by telling you a big secret, something you're not going to believe, and really I shouldn't even be telling you this, but this is big news about someone you know. That person you know is you, and the secret is, gossip can ruin your reputation. Okay, not such big news, you might think. But the way gossip can ruin your reputation may surprise you, but I'll get to that in a moment. Actually, people love gossip, don't they? Some people more than others. We often think of gossip as harmful, and it might be sometimes, but it's also just what people do when they get together. They gossip in cafes, in restaurants, at work, online. The truth is, most people engage in a bit of gossip here and there. Much of it's probably harmless. People talk about people, and exchanging social information can be important and valuable. Because having a social map in your head of just who's who and to whom can be valuable in all kinds of ways. It can help us understand others better and help us find our own place in the social mix. And perhaps gossip was the tribal origin of the whole field of psychology. We are, most of us, interested in what other people are doing. So if someone we know has a new partner or job or seems to be on a health kick and has lost some weight, it's only natural that we may well mention that to someone else. It might not seem like gossip to say, Jack's got a new girlfriend or Jill looks so much slimmer, but it is still talking about people. And I think some of that, perhaps a lot of that, is fine and unavoidable and, dare I say it, even healthy. This type of gossip doesn't feel like gossip because the subjects of these discussions aren't secret. If Jack is telling everyone about his new love interest and Jill's thrilled with her newfound healthier appearance and lifestyle, then the information is public anyway. A study conducted by Feinberg et al. In 2014 and published in Psychological Science under the title Gossip and Ostracism Promote Cooperation in Groups found that gossip can have positive effects on group behaviour, including encouraging cooperation and deterring selfishness. The researchers even found that some gossip can help protect against the exploitation of nice people and promote the ostracism of bullies. So gossip can have some benefits. It enables us to express interest in others, to feel connected to the community, maybe even to avoid people who are known swindlers or cheats, if the gossip about them is true, of course. And most gossip is benign. It's not about purposefully trying to defame someone else's character or put others down. In fact, a lot of the time, gossip is really positive. But sometimes, even a bit of mutual complaining might be healthy. Venting together about the boss or that grumpy neighbour or rude co-worker can have a bonding effect and offer a release for pent-up frustration. A bit of that here and there is hard to avoid, and it helps to feel as if someone else understands your frustration. But there is, as you know, a dark side to gossip, because some people gossip as a way to wield power, to gain a kind of status. They may even actively put others down in an attempt to elevate themselves by way of comparison. Gossip of this kind is like sugar. Sure, it might give you a boost in the short term, but it's guaranteed to cause problems later. It has a kind of focusing effect, especially if the gossip shows up other people's weaknesses or mistakes or private misfortunes. Some people can feel more virtuous or lucky when they compare themselves to the person being maliciously gossiped about. They can feel superior in a I'm better or more fortunate than that person kind of way. Most of us lapse into this kind of gossip occasionally. But some people intentionally use it to wield social power, because gossip gives, or at least seems to give, the gossiper status. It's a fast-track way of getting attention from other people, and we all need attention. Secrets are powerful, and they're exactly what gives gossip its power, the sharing, or should I say spilling, of secrets. The gossiper gets a thrill in the moment, focused attention on them, status for knowing what others don't, and the more that addictive need for attention is fed, the more that person may start to exaggerate gossip, take a situation out of proportion, or even confabulate parts of the story, all in the name of making it more exciting, and this is where rumours start. In fact, I might even go as far as to say, heaven forbid, that some news media might just be guilty of this, perish the thought. And although gossip is often couched as news, in reality it may comprise a little bit of fact and a lot of conjecture. Something as simple as a man talking to a woman who isn't his wife may be interpreted as the man being attracted to the woman, or even having an affair with her. I've actually heard that said of a man who was seen talking to his sister, who was visiting from out of town. The only fact was that he was talking to some woman. The rest was nothing but conjecture. Healthy gossip will tend to deal with non-secrets, stuff that's in the public domain and not necessarily meant to be private. So we might talk about the farmer down the lane who has a new tractor, or our friend who's going to Barbados for our holidays, or the woman down the street who's getting her house painted. We might even talk about someone getting divorced, as long as she's told everyone herself anyway. Malicious gossip, on the other hand, can often be detected even before it begins. It might start with the words, "Have you heard about?" or "You're not going to believe this," or "If I tell you this, do you promise not to tell anyone?" I love this last one. So they want you not to tell anyone, but of course the rule doesn't apply to them. But on the whole, people don't trust the malicious gossip. The first reason is pretty obvious. If you're mean, or clearly terrible at keeping people's secrets, or indiscreet about their weaknesses or misfortunes, then the person you're gossiping to will feel that you can't be trusted with their information. They'll see that you have little respect for the people in your life, and as one of those people, they won't necessarily want to share their thoughts or feelings or experiences with you. And this breaks intimacy, because intimacy is all about sharing information and feeling that you can say anything to someone. What this means is that getting attention in the short term can actually mean you're less connected to other people in the longer term, because trust and intimacy go hand in hand. This is how gossips can start to isolate themselves. But there's an even stranger reason why malicious gossip can backfire. Research has found that when we criticise an absent party, the person we're gossiping to is likely to assign the negative qualities we're discussing to us rather than the person we're actually talking about. So if I'm telling you how greedy and irresponsible my co-worker is because he likes to gamble, you're more likely to, subconsciously at least, tag me as greedy and irresponsible. This is known as misattribution, so describing other people behind their backs as mean or selfish or stupid can actually start to tarnish you with these associations in the minds of the people you gossip to. To me, sounds a little bit like divine justice. So if you want people not to think badly of you, one way is to rise above that kind of negative gossip and be respectful of other people's secrets. And yes, that applies even if they haven't told you it's a secret, if they suspect they probably would want it to be kept secret. I also think it's really useful to observe how your friends and colleagues talk about people who are absent. We can learn so much about someone by listening to the way they talk about others. Mind you, malicious gossip has been a problem for a long time, as Socrates from nearly 2,500 years ago can attest. Socrates devised the test of three when it comes to gossip. The legend goes like this. One day, an acquaintance ran up to Socrates excitedly and said, "Socrates, do you know what I just heard about one of your students?" Socrates paused and then said, "Wait a moment before you tell me. I'd like you to pass a little test. It's called the test of three." The other man had never heard of the test of three, so Socrates explained it to him. "Before you talk to me about my student, let's take a moment to test what you're going to say. The first test is truth. Have you made absolutely sure for yourself that what you're about to tell me is true?" The other man replied, "Well, no. Actually, I just heard about it." "All right," said Socrates. "So you don't really know if it's true or not. Now let's try the second test, the test of goodness. Is what you're about to tell me about my student something good?" At this point, the other man started to look a bit embarrassed as he says, "Well, no. Actually, quite the opposite." "So," Socrates continued, "you want to tell me something bad about him, even though you're not certain it's true?" When the other man didn't respond, Socrates continued, "You may still pass, though, because there's a third test, the test of usefulness. Is what you want to tell me about my student going to be useful to me?" And the other man had to admit that no, it wouldn't be. So, Socrates ultimately asked, "If what you want to tell me is neither true, nor good, nor even useful, why tell it to me at all?" Is excitement a real replacement for goodness? I think the rule of three still holds good all these thousands of years later. Is it true, is it good, and is it useful? Gossip really can ruin reputations, but it's not just the people being gossiped about that stand to lose something. It's also the gossips themselves. In fact, sometimes it's the gossip's reputation that gets ruined the most. So I hope you found that interesting and useful. And to listen to other audio insights, you can join the Hypnosis Downloads members section, the Growth Zone, where we've got over 50 audio insights archived. And members also get access to all the downloads on the site, plus exclusive members-only downloads. To find out more, just go to hypnosisdownloads.com and click on the Join tab at the top of the page. I'm Roger Elliott of Uncommon Knowledge, and thank you for listening.